wait for the triangles. I don't know.
Triangles are here.
They're here? Oh,
they're
my
here.
God. I'm going to have to go down.
They don't really do anything, but they're here.
Of course they don't do anything.
They're giving you cool ice powers. You're listening to Out of Dodge, a podcast hosted by us two. My name's Trevor.
I'm Shane.
What do we do in this podcast, Shane?
Well, on this podcast, we like to talk about movies, TV, video games, and usually complain a lot about those things, but sometimes not. Sometimes we're happy about them.
This is one of those happy episodes, I think. Today's going to be a good time. So you know what Sunday was this past Sunday, Shane?
Valentine's Day?
It was Valentine's Day.
Originally, we were going to do this episode earlier, but I had I'm not going to call it a near-death experience. I'm going to call it a life-adjacent experience. because my stomach imploded and I was heavily medicated. I couldn't do anything. It's just fucking insane. Like, I've never been that woozy in my life before. I'm mostly alive now, though. I don't feel great, but I feel better, and that is something.
I also don't feel great. I don't want to go into it. It's a little personal.
All right. Suffice it to say, we've both been a little under the weather lately, but things are a little bit better now, so we're going to talk about stuff.
We're talking about romantic comedies.
Yes.
Today, which is like a whole genre in itself within like TV shows and film. Technically, it's a subgenre of comedy and, like, romance. But you know what? Screw it. I feel like it's so populated with content and with, like, stuff. It's its own genre. You know what? I dub thee a genre.
I agree with you. I think after a certain number of films, it becomes a genre. Also, just for the sake of this conversation, we're going to play very fast and loose with what a genre is, because some of my movies are not sad, but very, like, nebulous, you know what I mean?
We're just going to do a little general description of what this genre is, and then kind of, you know, talk about films we like, films we don't like, things that work really well, and then I don't know if you did this, but I have, like, one film that I'm going to be like, this is my favorite. Romantic comedies central around normally two lovers who, you know, can't get together. They're romantically separated pretty much for the whole film due to forces out of their control. And the end of the film results in them kind of coming together in this kind of a larger-than-life, grandiose, romantic way, more or less. There is comical hijinks sprinkled throughout. Maybe the reason why they can't be together is comedic in the first place.
A lot of times it can get cheesy and formulaic, but every once in a while it stumbles onto kind of like, oh, this is what being a human is, and this is why being alive is great. Like, sometimes it really strikes the tone that it's going for. I wrote down a smidge of what the formula usually is.
Hit me with it.
Is that you'll have character A meets character B. It's usually in kind of like a funny way. Like, oh, I didn't expect to fall in love at this place. And then things start going well, and you're like, all right, but then... This is something that I like to call the third quarter fall, which is about three-fourths of the way into the film. A bad thing happens. Maybe somebody was lying about something, or maybe there's just, like, an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend comes into the picture. Shit goes sideways. And you're like, how could they recover from this? But then, they do recover from this. There's either a big romantic gesture, or at the very least, the character discovers, like, who they are and how to be a better person, and then that's kind of the payoff.
I'm going to be a better person for me kind of thing.
I'm going to do architecture more, and you're like, good.
There's a lot of tropes when it comes to this genre specifically that are kind of frustrating. Unfortunately, there's a lot of good films that fall underneath this, like, description, right, of romantic comedy. As a whole, this genre is not really known for innovation. It's really not known for, like, trying new things and doing stuff that is out there and kind of reinventing narrative and character study, right? They can be made really cheap, and they're pretty popular, you know? As long as you get, like, two charismatic leads, There is like not oh, even that, you know, really. Sure, make it just be hot, or not even that,
or not even people,
not even people, just two cardboard boxes. It's something that people will always kind of see, regardless. It's pretty inoffensive. Sometimes it can be very offensive. Very low stakes in terms of production and in terms of kind of viewership, right? It's like, oh, you know, this isn't gonna put me off the whole day or whatever. It's an hour and a half, or it's like 90 minutes, whatever. It's not much of an investment as a viewer, you know, mentally. There's a trope that if you're a woman in a romantic comedy, you're a reporter who like is very, you know, I do is work, and then a guy comes along and is like, oh, I'm gonna teach you that you need to be happy. And then, you know, at the end of the movie, she finds a happy in between, or like is like, screw my professional aspirations, I'm just gonna be a wife, which is problematic as well.
Yeah, maybe.
Or
yeah,
they just own a bakery, and that's like the two that's the two states for women in a lot of romantic comedies, which is bad. The meet cute, that's a whole new trope.
That's a big deal.
Which is a funny way that, you know, character A meets character B, and they fall in love. And it's like, they'll bump each other, and they'll be like, oh, the laundromat, I also use quarters. It's like, yeah, the whole thing runs on quarters, girl, what are you talking about? So, I mean, it's the way that I see romantic comedies, it's taking the mundane, right, the boring stuff, and then being like, let's make it kind of fantastical and funny.
I agree with you. A lot of the movies that I like will take things that seem very boring or normal and then make it like a huge deal. Or make it very sweet or very intimate. If I could start dropping movies in.
Please.
Away We Go is a movie that I like a lot. And it stars good old John Krasinski of Jim fame and Maya Rudolph from SNL. And they are a couple that's trying to find somewhere to move.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pregnant. And it's like, okay, where are we going to live? And they jump all over the country. And it's kind of sad, I'm going to be honest, at times. They bump into people who's like, maybe that marriage is not doing too well, or maybe, like, this person is going through this. But it kind of makes their relationship stronger, and it's also, like, really funny in, like, the smallest kind of way.
Oh, that's nice.
Like, there's one family, and they're showing their kids The Sound of Music, and they're like, well, we always skip the Nazi parts, because we're not quite ready to have that discussion. But it's very normal, you know what I mean? It's not, it's nothing, like, huge or crazy, but it still works really well.
The films that we note as being our, kind of our favorite rom-coms, they kind of break the mold. It's very hard for kind of films and filmmakers, right, when they're making rom-coms to hit that balance between trying to do new things and trying to innovate on something that's been done before, but also fulfilling the expectations of the viewer.
Even if it is a little different, you still want what you expect. You still want the funny misunderstandings. You still want a sassy best friend who's like, you need to be better. And the main character's like, okay. The Big Sick is an example that I wanted to bring up because, unlike most romantic comedies, the love interest is dying for almost most of the film.
She's in a coma for like 60 minutes.
It's honestly, it's kind of rough at times, but it's actually very sweet. And the main character becomes really good friends with her parents, and it's actually like really adorable.
So they have a relationship, and they end up breaking up. Like it's like a little quick montage in the first act, right? Within the first 30 minutes, they like get together and then break up. And for whatever reason, after they break up, he's still her emergency contact. And so when she goes into a coma, he's the one who gets called. You know, he puts in time and effort, and like the relationship with the parents blossoms and everything. And it's really like, you can tell that he's like trying really hard, even though, you know, probably there's no future for them because circumstance.
But it does work out, spoilers.
Yeah. I mean, it's based on a true story.
Yeah.
So, of people that are married.
So, hooray for love.
Hooray for love. I have a question for you about this one.
Of course.
Sure. Whether it constitutes a romantic comedy. Some Like It Hot.
That's a good question.
Because I'd say yes.
I'd say probably, yeah, too.
I mean, it has all the hijinks, you know?
I mean, yeah, if you have the hijinks, you have the hijinks.
You have men pretending to be women to get out of getting shot by the mafia. You have Marilyn Monroe doing her thing in acting. You have one of the guys who's a woman falling in love with Marilyn Monroe, because, like, why wouldn't you? You also have another guy going out on a date with a man who, like, is pursuing him. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fun time. I like it a lot. It's good.
So I want to talk about Nick and Nora. Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, obviously.
Oh, that's which just a good movie.
Is a really good soundtrack. I mean, it kind of has to be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most of the movie is about finding this undercover band that's going to mm-hmm. perform in New York, but nobody knows where. And that's kind of like a normal thing, you know, but it mm-hmm. makes New York kind of seem like this mysterious labyrinth of a place, and it yeah. all takes place at night, and it's like, oh, this is so interesting.
Kind of romanticizes New York in a way that you would look at like a European city and like, or like Paris, you know, in the way that it's like, oh, the lights and like even the gross grungy parts are like fun and cool. And I don't know, like New York to me feels like, I mean, I've never been. We've established this.
We did.
It's canon on it's the canon. Podcast uh-huh. lore. But, you know, it feels like a normal place where people live. To me, like Paris, I'm just like, made up place. Magic town. Get out of here.
So, Groundhog Day, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a film where a man gets stuck in one day, Groundhog Day, over and over and over again. And at first he's like, oh, this isn't real. And then he's like, oh, obviously it's because I need to have sex with this lady. And she's like, you're kind of an asshole. And then he's like, oh, wait, I need to be just a good person. That's obviously what I need to do. But also, you know, he learns how to do almost everything, which is kind of rad.
Yeah, I want to say it's like
strange.
Like 100 years or something he spends.
Every time I look it up, it's a different number. It's a movie that is obviously a very strange concept, which is, you know, in a time loop and the day repeats. And even if you mm-hmm. die, it still repeats. And the only way out is to like learn the central lesson or whatever. And I think that's rad. But what is the strangest thing about Groundhog Day is that it didn't die with Groundhog Day. Like there have been other romantic comedies mm-hmm. that use this that really work. One example would be Palm Springs with Andy Samberg, which is about it's kind of like a wedding weekend
yeah.
that he gets stuck in. But then he finds out that this girl also gets stuck in it with him. And then like hijinks ensue, obviously. But it's kind of cool to have more than one person understand like the way the universe works, because it's not yeah. just one man is a god. It's like, oh, these are two people, and you have to
deal
with...
Two people are gods.
And he kind of gets her stuck there, so she's a little pissed about it, which, fair enough. Okay. More like, there's like a time cave, and he goes to it, and then she follows him, and he's like, you probably shouldn't, and she's like, it's nothing. And then she's like, oh no.
Oh no, the time cave.
The time cave. It's really good. I know I made it sound like it isn't, but
no,
it's actually
it sounds,
really good.
It sounds and the, fun and like silly good.
And the love interest, whose name I forget, is actually played by the mother from How I Met Your Mother, who I think did a phenomenal job, even though she mm-hmm. was given like one season to represent 9 seasons of emotion.
Like 2 episodes, but yeah, I'm not bitter.
But she did a really good job, and she's actually phenomenal in Palm Springs, so mm-hmm. I really would recommend it. But then
there's another Amazon TV show that's doing it.
No, it's a movie, and I just watched it.
Is it any good?
It's great.
Is it really?
I'm not kidding. Like, I just watched it. It's called The Map of Tiny Perfect Things, and it's actually phenomenal. Like, it's another time loop, obviously, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. it's... The movie opens, and the guy already is stuck in it. Like, he knows.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell by the way he, like, walks and talks to people that he knows everything. He's like, I know to do this, I know to do this. He has the perfect route to everywhere already mapped. But then he finds out that there's a girl who also is stuck in it, and he's like, holy shit. And hijinks ensue, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's actually really sweet, and I won't spoil it, but the reason that the loop is happening is kind of like completely different than what you would expect. And he kind of learns that, oh, wait, maybe I shouldn't... It's another, like, oh, you have to learn to be a better person thing, obviously.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
there's
yeah.
more levels to it, and actually it's surprisingly good. And the guy I don't actually know from anywhere, like the main character, but he's great. But the girl is actually Claire from... This is actually the best I've seen her do, because I think she actually got writing. It surprised me.
I had another one, and it has escaped my brain.
I'll mention another one. This is not a time loop. This is just a regular forward motion kind of movie.
Oh, okay.
But there's a movie called Plus One, which actually stars the main character from The Boys.
Jack Quaid?
Yes. And it's a movie about a guy who has to go to like a million weddings And he's like, I can't possibly do this. And then he meets a friend and he's like, hey, girl, can we do this together? Can we go to all these shitty weddings? And she's like, sure, nothing will happen. Things happen. You know, there are some feelings. But the comedic timing and the chemistry between the two leads is just like out of this fucking world. It's so cute and good. And just like the dialogue is really good and snappy. Mm-hmm. And like they jump between weddings. And you get to see like little snippets of the best man speech. And most of them are awful, which, you know, true to life.
Yeah. The Proposal.
There we go.
I did it. But this one, this is the one that, like, it flips conventions, you know? Because instead of, you know, them being like, oh, we're going to date and we're going to, you know, see how things go. It's two people that, like, absolutely hate each other being kind of smushed together and being forced to be together and, like, put on airs that they're getting married. And it works out pretty well.
Well, we danced around 500 Days of Summer a little while ago with our architecture jokes. But that's a good one. But also because it doesn't do the normal shit. Like, I think, like, the first line of the movie might be, this is not a love story. And I'm like, oh, okay. Silly me. but it tells the movie is told in non-chronological order because our relationship lasted about 500 days between the two characters. And you'll jump between, like, day 3 to day 498 and then back to day 56, and it's kind of interesting. But also the main character realizes that, oh, I was kind of an asshole and maybe I should not be. But also sometimes it's such a huge bummer of a film in a great way, in a really good way. Like there's one scene that shows he goes to a party after they broke up, and obviously he wants to get back together, and it shows you what he wants to happen, but then right next to it shows you what actually happened. And ooh, what actually happens is really sad.
This is brutal.
And the soundtrack is really good, too.
It's really good. I don't like the ending, though. I feel like it's a little cheesy. She's like, hi, I'm like Autumn or whatever. It's like, god damn it.
But I like a little, like a hint of hope.
Would Scott Pilgrim versus the World count?
No, because I think that's more of its own thing, if that's fair to say.
Yeah. I'd say it's
obviously
comedy.
Romance is part of the, like, a driver of the plot for sure, but it's so, like, its own thing. Like, it's so, like, more action comedy, I would even say, just because it's so focused on, like, fighting.
Always Be My Maybe.
Oh, yeah, Netflix.
Yeah. It's all right. It's good.
It's kind of a soft sell there.
I mean,
you don't have to love it.
I like parts of it. Can I do that?
Of course, yeah.
I just feel like sometimes it fell into tropes, and it's like, just talk to each other. And they're like, no, I'm going to be difficult. And I'm like, god damn it. And they're like, I guess we'll get broken up then. But I do like the idea, because it does kind of a thing where it's two people that kind of they're kind of view each other as like, oh, I'd never go out with her. I'd never go out with him, you know. They're kind of like, we've known each other forever. They're kind of like the backup, you know.
Yeah.
And then they end up getting together after Keanu Reeves breaks up with her, with Ali Wong's character. It is actually Keanu Reeves, like, that is who he is. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's good.
Radical.
Yeah.
Speaking of Netflix, they did Set It Up, which was about two assistants, and they have really shitty bosses, and they're like, you know what? If we set our bosses up with each other, they'll be less shitty. It doesn't 100% work out, but it's weirdly adorable as a film because the two characters are like really snappy toward each other. I think they bump into each other and they're both carrying like a bunch of food and it spills everywhere and they're like, I'm going to kill you. Later in the film, they're like, oh my God, am I in love? And it's just like weirdly cute. It's one of those movies where like they hit the charm perfectly. Because you've seen a lot of movies, obviously, where it's so manufactured and they don't have any chemistry, but this is the opposite of that.
Should we go into our personal favorites?
Yeah, throw me, what do you got?
So my favorite rom-com, honestly, probably, I'd say maybe top 10, maybe top 5 favorite film of all time, When Harry Met Sally.
Nice.
Directed by Rob Reiner. Written by Nora Ephron, starring Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan. Fantastic movie. It poses the question, can men and women ever just be friends? And I feel like time has changed. since that film came out? The answer is 100% yes, because, like...
Of course, obviously.
It's such a charming movie that, you know, sets up these two characters. They hate each other when they meet. Billy Crystal, Harry, he's a jerk. He's trying to get with Sally, Meg Ryan. No, 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 sir. We're not there yet in the movie. But yeah, no, so it's good. It kind of, these two people eventually, once, you know, they become friends and the movie kind of begins, they've both been burned by previous lovers. And so they're like, you and I, not happening, dude. Let's just be friends, okay? Because that's what we need right now. We don't need sex. We don't need, like, love. We just need friendship. And so the entire movie is about these two people trying not to fall in love, and trying to just stay friends. And in the end, because of the friendship, they fall in love with each other. And it's fantastic. And the dialogue's great. And, you know, it has a good cast, and everyone has good chemistry. It's just real good and charming through and through. It's very good. I like it a lot. I have the script on my bookshelf. Forgot the word for that because I got flustered.
You got excited.
I'm talking about when Harry met Sally. But yeah, no, it's a classic film. Like, all these famous lines are from that. And when I saw it in college, when I was impressionable, I was like, oh my God, that's where all this is from. It's a good movie. I recommend it to everybody.
Great. My favorite, romantic comedy, is called About Time, which admittedly is a very silly title for what the movie is about. Because in this movie, the main character in his family, all the men can time travel. They're like, oh, you can only travel within like your own life and the stuff that you can remember and the places that you were. So he's like, I'm going to try to use it to, like, fix my own life. And he fucks up all the time, and it's very funny. And he does meet someone that he, like, immediately falls in love with, who Rachel McAdams in the film. Mm-hmm. And he's like, great. But then, like, he has to fix something for a friend, and then he misses that date. Like, it wipes it from history. And he's like, shit, I have to fix this. And he tries to go meet her, and then she has a boyfriend, and he has to go back in time so they don't meet. And there's so many, like, crazy-ass things that he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also, like, a very sweet, awkward person.
Yeah.
So it doesn't come across as creepy. It just is very, like, a romantic film, and all this funny stuff happens. And also the relationships that he has with his family, like, with his sister, and especially with his father, are, like, very good and layered. It's just good. It's very cute, and it's another one of those things that makes you, like, fall in love with just life in general. Because you're like, wow, it is pretty good.
Where can people watch it? Do you know?
I think I bought it on Amazon a long time ago, but I want to say it's on Netflix right now.
Okay. What do you feel like generally about the genre? Do you think people should make more of them?
I mean, they're gonna, you know?
So I mean, like, yeah, regardless of what you think.
I would say that it's one of those things that I like a lot more than I'll admit, you know? Because it's very easy to be like, rom-coms, they're so overdone. But deep down, like, there's so many that I like. And I do want people to make more of them. I definitely want more weird shit, you know, like time loops, or like, don't tell it in chronological order, or have them meet at a different time. I definitely want more like innovation. Like, I know people love the tropes, but you can still get a little weird with it and still have it be like cheesy, you know?
As much as I want to watch, you know, Love Actually or whatever.
I've never seen that either.
It's actually pretty charming. I do want, stuff to be different, you know? And I do feel like a lot of times, more often than not, romantic comedies that just get like churned out are cookie cutter formulaic stuff, which, like, hey, you're employing people. Good for you. But you know, I don't want to watch that. If there's other things that are pushing the envelope and, you know, innovating, why should that garner my interest more? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, of course.
Which has kind of been the theme of the past, like, 10 episodes. Which is like, how do you earn my attention? You don't earn it by just existing.
You have to justify, like, why am I making a movie about love? What am I saying? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why are these characters important? Or what is this saying about the human condition? Or about how people act? And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and that just comes down to writing, you know? And
You gotta write good, please. But do you have any more you'd like to add, or should we?
No, I'm good.
Oh, I will add that. God, I forgot. What's the name of the guy from Iron Man 2? I know he's in other things. Sam Rockwell, great.
There are so many guys in Iron Man.
That was one of the first times I remember seeing him. There's a movie called Mr. Right where it's Sam Rockwell and Anna Kendrick, and Sam Rockwell plays an assassin who kills everybody that hires him because he's decided that murder's bad. So, like, if someone tries to hire him to do a hit, he's like, you can't do that, and then he kills them.
Does he do the hit still or no?
No. It's like a moral opposition kind of thing. It's very funny. And he dates Anna Kendrick, and she's like, what do you do for a living? And he's like, I kill people. And she's like, well, he's obviously doing a bit, but it's not a bit. But it's very
funny. At least he's honest, you know?
It's just like, it's kind of like whimsical, but I really enjoy it. And then there's also a film called Imagine Me and You, which is probably one of the best meet cutes, or maybe also hardest meet cutes, because this woman's getting married to this dude, and she's like, I figured it out, I'm in love. And then she locks eyes with this female florist at her wedding, and she's like, oh no, I'm gay. And that, it's a really good film, and it's very cute. But I think that's all that I have. So this is our only segment, really, of the show, where we watch a random episode in the middle of a show that we have never seen. And usually we complain about it. Sometimes the shows are good. Usually they're bad. We're not doing this to be mean. It's just that there's so much content right now and so many TV shows, you could never watch everything. But it's good to get a taste of as much as you can.
So. Yeah. And we understand that real people have worked on projects that we're probably going to complain about.
We do this with love for television. So today we watch Gilmore Girls. Uh-huh. Season 4, episode 15, Scene in a Mall. Because they go to a mall for a bit in an episode, so they named it that.
They shouldn't have named it that, because it barely takes place in a mall. Anyways, what did you think? What did you think?
Well, the word I want to use today is divorce, because that is the theme, I think, of this episode. Did you get that feeling? Because I did.
Yeah, well, because they were divorced from reality. Whoa! No, the grandparents are getting divorced.
Yeah, the grandparents. So the grandparents are a big part of this episode. The show's about a mom and her daughter. The mom, Lorelai, wild name, and Rory are kind of the focus of the show. But you also have other characters like, oh, there's Luke, he owns a diner. And there's Kirk, he has dogs, I guess. And then the grandparents, though, Emily and Richard, are a kind of a crux in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And shit's rough. My friends, shit is rough, because they argue all the time. And at first you're like, okay, because they're like, which Beatles are dead? And I'm like, that's funny, I think. But then, oh, they go to a mall. I don't want to take this moment away from you.
Yeah, so Rory and Lorelai, they're like, they've been emailing, because that was the whole new rage in 2003 or whenever this episode came out.
It was 2003, yeah.
And so they've been emailing, and they're like, we need to hang out, because we've just become email buddies. So they're like, okay, well, we don't have any money, so let's go window shop in the mall. They go and do that, and it turns out it sucks, because you can't buy anything when you're just looking at stuff. Emily, the grandmother, shows up, and she's like, what's up, ladies? I'm going to take you on a shopping spree at, like, a Nordstrom's Rack. So Emily walks in to the store and starts, like, ordering people around like she owns the place. And they'd start doing stuff for her. She's a heavy spender. And, you know, she's like, oh, I'm going to buy you guys stuff. You know, whatever you want. I'll buy you guys stuff. And they're like, we don't want anything.
We're good. But she just keeps going. And it gets uncomfortable pretty quick.
Yeah. It's just bad. It just gets rough. Because she's like, it's a grown woman who's having, like, a mental breakdown. Because she's like,
but kind of like a very slow but also very fast breakdown.
It goes from, like, 0 to 30 and then 30 to 100. That's how I would measure it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good measurement.
And she's like, my husband, your father needs to shave his mustache and, like, buy these shoes. Don't buy these shoes. I can sell these shoes. And we're like, honey, what's going on? And it's like, obviously, she's projecting some deep-seated insecurities in her relationship with her husband onto Lorelai and Rory. And then
her daughter, her granddaughter, and also all the salespeople.
Lorelai notices that her mom's probably hungry, and they go to the food court, And they get a lot of food, and, you know, they have a conversation about, like, hey, you need to just be honest with Dad, and, like, just be real, just talk to him, you know? Don't bicker, don't be an asshole, just, like, have an honest conversation. Which was the most adult thing Lorelai did the entire episode, which was kind of out of left field for me.
Well, I like the moment, in general, probably, it's probably, like, the only moment in the show. Mm-hmm. No, in the episode, maybe in the show, but like they're sitting down eating garbage food, and you know, the grandmother's like, garbage food's great, which is like a lesson we all learned in college, but I guess
we all learned earlier. I was raised on garbage food, baby.
I was molded by it, etc. But the grandma's kind of like, I haven't done anything. Like, she's like, she feels really unaccomplished, and her husband is like moving at lightning speed, and she's like, oh, I thought, well, he was gonna retire, I thought we'd have more time together, but you know, he's just doing this and this and this. And Lorelai's like, hey, maybe you should just tell him to calm down, and you, like, you are a good person, like, you're my mom and I love you, and like, it's okay. And they kind of bond in that moment, but oh boy, the rest of the episode. But if I can just skip to the end, because it put me on.
We'll just finish the A plot.
So at the end of the show, you have the longest dinner table ever made by man. And the grandparents are sitting across from each other. And I'm like, you don't have to do that if there aren't guests. But it, you know, it's a metaphor for divorce.
You just sit at a smaller table, but yeah, it's fine.
She bought all these crazy ceramic apples or something at the mall.
And she made a big deal about it, like having them being shipped overnight.
And she has them set at the table. And she's like, hey, husband, how about these apples? And he's like, yeah, I've always loved them. They've always been here. And she's like, oh, I just got them, though. It just ends on that note. And I'm like, oh, they're getting divorced for sure, baby.
And, like, for me, I wouldn't worry about him. Like, because she's like, he's having lunch with like, women. And I'm like, this guy? He
maybe
can't
not,
slay
not Mr.
shit,
Mustache.
Dude. Yeah, no, so I wouldn't worry about on that front, girlfriend, but maybe on, like, an emotional, spiritual connection.
Yeah,
y'all don't have that no more.
it's sad. It bums me out.
Yeah.
But also other things happen.
Generally, what did you think of this show? Because we'll kind of circle around.
I thought the pacing was insane, if I can say that. I think, not like, in terms of events, but in terms of, like, how dialogue was given and how, like, shit would occur. Like, there was, like, this frantic energy to it that felt like they were writing and shooting this episode in a timeline where a meteor was going to hit Earth in 6 hours.
Yeah.
And they were like, we have to make all of these jokes and have all of these things happen right now because the Earth is dying.
Like, the content-wise of what the lines were nonsense. You know, there were some good ones.
Sometimes it felt like they weren't open to, like, ad-libbing. They were like, well, no, it has to be as written. And I'm like, but when you hear it, you have to go, ah, nah.
And especially, maybe this was just the actress that played Rory. Like, she's young, you know, and she's in Handmaid's Tale, and she's great in that, and, you know,
oh, no,
I think she
really
won.
Good.
She's a really good actress. But I feel like just some of her deliveries are just, like, it's just the writing, though.
I think it might be the,
like,
writing, to be honest.
I do think it's 100% the writing, because it's this weird, like Cronenberg-esque sentences of just words that are smooshed together that shouldn't be smooshed together. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? and I know there's a lot of people that are like, oh, the writing's so smart. I don't know about that one, Chief. People always look at Aaron Sorkin and his stuff as having, like, you know, West Wing. There's a certain way people in West Wing speak, right? And it's it makes sense for them to speak that because they're all highly educated. You know, it makes sense in the world. These Gilmore girls, they're just normal folk. I mean, yeah, Rory's in Yale, but, like, she can skip class in Yale. I thought they would kick you out.
No, she just had newspaper. She had newspaper in the morning or whatever.
What is that? Like, the class?
No, just newspaper.
Also, where is Yale? Just generally.
Earth.
You don't know either?
No.
Okay. Their town, where they live, I don't know, Gilmore Springs or something, is also 100% shot on the Universal backlot, because, like, I've seen it with my eyeballs. Not only do they have the small town has a big old mall, but also is, like, in Yale, because she can just be there. She'd be like, yeah, I can be there at Yale and at Gilmore Town. So you know, geographically I'm confused. Because I also don't know where Yale is. I don't even think Yale's real. I'm going to be real with you.
No, it's in Connecticut, so it works out because
which Connecticut?
In Connecticut. What do you mean?
North, south, or east?
There's only one Connecticut.
It's not West Connecticut, I know that for damn sure.
Oh boy, okay, now that we've figured out where Yale is, there's a lot of B-plots in this episode. And by B, I guess I mean C, or they're not even plots, they're just things that occur.
Yeah, so I would say maybe the B-plot is Lane?
Lane, yes. The band who got kicked out of her house, maybe? It was kind of unclear. It seemed hostile.
I think, yeah. And of course, I have to say this. Being Chinese, well, of course, the Asian family and the only Asian character in the whole goddamn Connecticut is a hostile environment and just terrible. Of course. It's them that have the awful relationships, and, you know, she has to have an itinerary of, or an inventory of what she took out of the house. You know, it's not like that. You know, I grew up in an Asian household. It's pretty chill. My mom's white. She was the harsher one. I'm gonna be real with you. Yeah, it's just kind of icky. I mean, that's the whole, there's a lot of icky in this, especially kind of up front. You gotta get hit with it, because there's a lot of gay jokes.
There's so one of the characters, Kirk, walks in, and he has like a little purse, but it's a dog bag,
yeah,
right? And he's like, don't make fun of the purse. And then Luke, who I guess is kind of like gonna be the dad, right? That's the energy we're getting.
I think at the end of the show, they do end up together.
Okay, great. So Luke is like, you mean the gay bag? And I'm like, oh, okay. And I mean, we're like less than a minute in. We're less than a minute into the show. And I'm like, okay, great. Cool.
Sick.
Funny.
And then later, because Rory's sick, she has a cold, her roommate is like, you know, quarantining her in the room. Yeah. And she's like, well, since you're sick, I'm going to sleep with the other girls tonight. And Rory's like, oh, how very L-word of you. And I'm like, the fuck? Are you kidding me, man? And that's the writing, 100%, you know? And that's, I guess that would pass for comedy? Maybe? In 2003? But it's still offensive, you know?
It's still not great, perhaps. Yeah,
it's not
good. Especially when you're not going to have any of that, as far as I know, representation in your show at all.
Yeah.
They'll be like, actually, the dog was gay. And I'm like, okay. If I can talk about one line delivery before we talk about Sam. So, mm-hmm. Lane, who got kicked out of her house and is now moving in with her band in mm-hmm. this really small apartment. And she forgot everything. I mean, they're like, towels, a refrigerator. There's a giant dead monster in the cupboard. We don't see it, but it's spooky. And then there's this line, though, where a guy walks in and he drops something. And he drops something on the box, and the dude's like, my stereo. And he's like, don't worry, Brian, we have my stereo. And I'm like, what? Why'd you deliver it like that, man? Like, what is this?
I'm robot, Brian.
It's so weird. Okay, but let's talk about Sam.
Yeah, let's talk about Sam.
Let's talk about Sam.
So his name's actually Dean.
It's very confusing. So Sam from... is playing a character named Dean in Gilmore Girls, which is a mm-hmm. trip. He's like a construction worker. I get the vibe. He kind of flirts with Rory,
yeah,
a little bit while he's doing construction, and you're like, oh, okay,
yeah,
all right. But then later in the episode, you find some stuff out.
You also find out like a minute after they flirt that he's with somebody.
He's married, apparently, because. Yeah, you do find that out, but then later they emphasize it again. He's at, like, an arcade, and he's playing an arcade game, as you do. And he's like, yeah, things are pretty great with the wife, and her parents are cool. And her dad does, and he has no idea what her dad does. And it's really weird, because it's like his brain just leaves But also he's staring out the window at Rory like, oh my god, this is the love of my life. And I'm like, oh, Sam, what are you doing, bud?
Yeah, no.
Why'd you get married? You're so small. Do you know how tall you're going to get later? It's absurd.
He just keeps growing. Yeah, and like, in my notes, I wrote that Dean's girlfriend, because I was mistaken, and mom are cringe with a capital C. Because like, they're like, oh, did you tell him about the new dry cleaners? She's like, oh yeah, I found a new dry cleaners, it's better for the environment. And I'm like, you're so boring, dude. Like, you suck. You are the worst. I think he blew his chance with her or whatever. I mean, obviously he's married,
he shouldn't be married. It's weird.
I mean, you're a child.
Yeah,
you but got also, a whole life
you
to
were
live.
Obviously that into her though, because like,
because she's, dude, boring.
She does suck. She just is.
And apparently
is
her like, there's a joke. It's like an ongoing joke that her cooking's terrible.
During that diner scene where they make all those gay jokes, great.
Uh-huh.
Lorelai's just firing joke after joke about fax machines. And I'm like, fax machines. There's so many like bits in this show. Like, it's like, oh, fax machines. And then it's like loins and the Beatles.
To me, their approach to comedy is, if I hit it enough, maybe it will land.
It's very Monkey with a Typewriter. It's like, eventually...
But it's the same joke. Not a fan of that.
No, me neither.
It's exhausting.
It's not... It just feels kind of wooden, like a high school play.
And also, maybe the character of... Maybe this is the whole dynamic. But Lorelai is an absolute child. And, yeah, I'm gonna say it.
Getting brutal here.
Maybe she's a bad mom. I don't know. I always don't like, and maybe this is you, listener, so this is not a slight on you because you're listening on our podcast, so we love you, so thank you. But like, I don't like the relationships between a parent and child where it's like, oh, my mom's my best friend, or like, you know, oh, I had a child and, you know, she's my best friend now, or he's my best friend now. And I'm just like, cool with that, you know.
I don't think she's like mean or anything, but I do think that one phone call where it was like, you don't email me enough, was like, damn, just let her be in college, man. Just,
it's like, dude,
just let her, like, let her do college, please, you know. Just, yeah, calm down
like,
a little.
She has a weekly, like, they have weekly dinners with their grandparents, you know
and that she doesn't even, that the, and Lorelai's like, I'm not gonna go to the next one because, you know, they're gonna get divorced. And I'm like, you can't just let your daughter deal with that.
Yeah. The dialogue's not good. I'm going to say that. Just flat out. Like, it's just not. And I've seen almost everybody in other things, and they're just better. So I want to say it's just the writing. And this is the fourth season. So, and I was exhausted after one episode.
There's so much of it. I was also exhausted. I kept being like, oh, there's more? Every day we get further from the light of Merlin. It was just so boring. And I was like, not only are we on season four, but there are like eight other seasons after that. And then it came back for a revival or whatever. And I'm like,
yeah,
why?
There's also stuff. It's weird. It's so weird because it feels like it exists in a pocket dimension.
Hell?
Where it's people that like, maybe, but like it's people that don't know what things are.
Okay.
And then they're like, they walk into our reality. Like, they're like, let's go shopping. And they're like, shopping's not fun when I can't buy anything. I'm like, what do you expect? It's like they've never shopped before, or they have no concept of what shopping is. And I maybe that's the bit, maybe that's the funny goof that I'm not in on, but it just, it was weird. It didn't feel right. It didn't, it felt stinky, you know? It didn't go well with me.
It was haunted, for sure.
It was haunted. Cringe, even. Weird racial stuff in this one.
Yep, that's fair. And true.
Weird homophobic stuff in this one.
Also fair and true.
Times have not been kind to our girls of Gilmore. It's their last name. It's not like the town.
No, it's like Snow Hollow. It's not Snow Hollow. That's the werewolf town. I don't know what town it is. Stars Hollow. That's even dumber.
Is it really called Stars Hollow?
Yeah, baby.
I hate it. It's dumb. I dated a girl back in freshman year of college. And I was like, you know, we're talking about like TV shows one day. And she was like, oh, my favorite, Gilmore Girls, hands down. And I was like, oh, really? Like, I haven't seen an episode. She's like, yeah, it's the best. Like, I kind of think of myself as a Rory and my mom kind of as a Lorelai. And I was like, oh, why? And she's like, because we're best friends. And I went, okay. And it's only today where I went,
whew. Yeah.
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 Like, you know, woof. Good on you, younger Trevor.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't your choice, but, you know, you grew
still,
from it.
Hooray.
Hooray.
Story number two.
Yes. So, in college, junior year? Potentially. I forget. My professor for TV writing, he wrote for Gilmore Girls. But so we watched an episode and he was like, and then we were like, we were all dogging on it the entire time because, you know, it's not good. And at the end, it was like written by and it was his name. And we're like, oh, no. And then he turns the lights on and turns the screen off. He's like, so what everyone think? And we're like, oh, bud, no, don't make me say it. And he was like, no, please, like, tell me what you think, like, honestly, because, like, this was a paycheck, you know, like, yeah, just yeah, give me your honest thoughts, because it wasn't good.
We would all take Gilmore Girls money, and I'm not happy about it, but it's true.
Mm-hmm. I would just need a thesaurus, and I could do it.
Just how many loin jokes can I make in a minute, and then I'll get a job.
Probably one, because I'd say those are some pretty tender loins.
But yeah, that's a good one.
And then the credits would roll.
It's the Gilmore Girls. Our new recurring segment where we tell you shit that you already know. A news town. So the Super Bowl happened, and it was a wild game in the sense that it was very clear who was going to win about 3 seconds in.
And nothing else happened.
Nothing else happened, but there were a few trailers, you know. Not as many as normal. Not quite like the rush of content. There were no like secret movies or like secret Netflix drops or the wow factor was kind of missing on this Super Bowl. One of the movies that was announced was M. Night Shyamalan's Old, which looked terrible, and it's about a beach where people go and they get stuck and you'll never guess what happens to them. They get old, but fast or something. It looked bad.
That's really dumb. I hate that.
There was also a trailer for Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which
looks good.
I'm obviously very excited about, especially after how good WandaVision has been. They announced, and I was really heated about this at first, but I've calmed down. They announced Clarice, which I thought was a Silence of the Lambs prequel, but actually isn't. It's a sequel about her after the events of Silence of the Lambs, and I'm like, that's kind of interesting. Not interesting enough for me to watch it. No.
Well, it's on CBS.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm like, okay, sure. That's happening. Obviously, Fast and Furious is coming back, and there are more cars than ever before.
At least one more car.
In other news, there was another Justice League trailer that we have to deal with. I don't want to talk about it for long, but the Joker said we live in a society, which is funny, I guess. There's going to be a Wakanda TV show for Disney Plus, and Ryan Coogler is going to do it. Obviously, the man that, you know, brought Black Panther to us. Pedro Pascal is going to be Joel in HBO's The Last of Us, which I think is great. I mean, I really like him, obviously, and
yeah.
HBO usually does a really good job with TV. And I think The Last of Us has a lot of potential. I'm curious to see if they follow the game like directly or if they kind of go in their own path.
I hope they go in their own path.
I feel like they have to.
Because it might be a two-season exchange.
The Mass Effect remaster is coming out, obviously, in May.
Yeah, it's good.
They released a trailer. I'm pretty excited about it. It looks cool. There's a faithful adaptation of King Arthur coming, brought to you by Zack Snyder. I don't know what that means because that shit didn't happen.
It's weird because there's so many different versions of the legends. So it's like,
we have to deal with the Cruella film, I guess, which is trying to make a feminist slant on a woman who famously tried to kill so many dogs. And not just dogs, mind you, but puppies.
About 101 of them.
And 101 Dalmatians, a film that I watched recently and is eerily reminiscent of the Holocaust. She does try to slaughter all of these dogs. And I'm like, that's terrible. But they're like, what if we did like a Harley Quinn spin on it? And I'm like, I guess we have to do that. Okay.
But don't.
Paddington 3 got announced recently.
Hell so yeah.
Gonna keep that shit going. There's gonna be a Gremlins animated TV show. I don't know how to feel about that. It's weird.
There's a lot of good people in the cast.
There's a lot of good people in the cast. It's super
really weird.
And it's like a prequel because it's about the shop owner meeting the gremlins for the first time. And they talked about meeting other, like, mythical things. And
well, technically, they're Magwais or whatever, right? Before... sorry, you can cut that.
Sorry, I'm sorry. The show is called Gremlins, okay?
So, the first full Nintendo Direct was today of filming. Wednesday, 17th.
Yep.
A lot was announced. Stuff that I don't really care about. Splatoon 3 was announced, so people are pretty hyped on that. Because Splatoon 2... Fairly fun, super successful. On the Switch, an HD remake of Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword will be coming in hot on July 16th. It's a game that I think is cool in concept, but presentation-wise kind of failed because it was like relying on the Wii motion controls back in the day.
Which,
super precise, you know, could do surgery with those.
You know how we still have the Wii, so...
Mm-hmm. They have Joy-Con options, like, you know, if you want to swing your hands around like a lunatic, or buttons, like a normal human being. They also announced special Skyward Sword Joy-Cons that are all blue and decorated. So, get those while it's hot. They also announced that the sequel for Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild will not be coming out this year. So, everyone was super hyped for it to come out last year. Didn't happen.
Things happened, though, last year.
Yeah, many things. So, I have a feeling it'll come out 2022. Maybe for Christmas. Oh, and then a new Star Wars game was announced. It's weird. It's a free-to-play live service game not made by EA. And it's called Star Wars Hunters.
I feel like I'm not going to care too much about this one.
I don't think many will. Do you have anything else? Or can I do the last news bit that I have?
I have a few things that I want to mention, but I can do that after.
Do it. No, do it.
Sure. I was very, like, couch-ridden all of last week. And if I want to be real, I'm probably going to be that most of this week. During that time, I played the Avengers game that came out recently. And I know that, like, everybody hated it because the launch was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But I played it a little bit late, and I kind of had a great time. Like, I'm not saying the story is like Infinity War levels, you know, or anything like that, but actually every character was pretty good to play as, like, surprisingly, and like
that's good.
Really enjoyed the combat, and like it was just kind of a lot of fun. Like, in the first level you kind of get to play as everyone, like it jumps back and forth so you can get a feel of the game, but then mm-hmm. a terrible thing happens and the Avengers like break up and the world is in disarray, but then you get the team back together and you gradually get to play as them again, and it's kind of cool. And then at the end you get another one of those levels where it jumps between each character, and you also get to pick each level who you're going to be, and then you can pick your team, so you can pick like what other characters are going to fight with you, and it just kind of rules, and I had a great time. But they're doing like free DLC for the game. Like, they did one that was Kate Bishop, and she's like Hawkeye 2.
Yeah,
like she's Hawkeye's apprentice but then becomes her own thing. And she's, like, my favorite character. I think because they designed her after they did the rest of the game. So they were like, we know how to do the game now.
Yeah.
Because she can, like, teleport and do all this crazy-ass shit. Like, it's like she stole a bunch of, like, tech from the bad guys.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And she has all these cool fucking arrows. It's awesome. But then they were like, well, we gave you this. And then we're going to give you Hawkeye in a nuked-out future later. And I'm like, great. I want to do that so bad.
Destiny has a new season. It was like last week.
Yeah.
Season of the Chosen. Destiny 2. Super fun. I hate it. I hate that I love it so much and I play it all the goddamn time. Check that out I don't recommend it to anybody. If you have Game Pass, it's free. Zero stakes. But
just
like,
try it for a minute. Just give it a tussle.
Give it a quick tussle. they released a new exotic quest for a rifle this week. So it takes the mission takes people like 2 hours to do. So
good luck with that.
Thanks. I don't think I'm strong enough to do it yet, but mentally or in the game. So
I know what I have to do, but I don't know if I'm strong enough to do it.
I have the weekly Cyberpunk update.
By
if you're
all
ready
means,
for that.
Let it loose.
So CD Projekt Red has not been able to catch a break. First, they released a game. I mean, this is their own fault, but they released a game that's pretty broken.
Yep.
Pretty a hot mess. They've, you know, done some fixes. It's fixed it on some platforms. Really not changed anything on others. Last week, 2 weeks ago, maybe?
Sure.
CD Projekt Red got hacked. Their servers got hacked. All their assets got stolen. The hackers left a ransom note saying, "Hello, CD Projekt. You've been epically pwned. We have dumped full copies of your source code from your servers for Cyberpunk 2077, Witcher 3, and Gwent, and the unreleased version of Witcher 3, which is probably like a demo. We have also dumped all your documents relating to accounting, administration, legal, HR, investor relations, and more." So they say, you have 48 hours to contact us, or all that stuff will get leaked online. They want money. CD Projekt Red said, "Fuck you guys. We're not gonna do that." All their shit got leaked on the web. So very on like dark web kind of sites and stuff like that, which is bad and shitty. And like, you know, it sucks because on Twitter it's a lot of people being like, "Well, they shipped a broken game, so they deserve to get hacked."
They deserve
the like,
company to get destroyed by a bunch of reptiles on the internet. And I'm like, maybe
not at all. You guys are so stupid.
I know we all like to believe in like the hackers from the 90s, you know.
The movie Hackers?
Yeah. But yeah. Sometimes it's just a bunch of assholes, you know?
Yeah,
that's
and it
what
sucks.
This feels like.
It
this
sucks
is not
a
like
lot.
Justice really. It's just kind of being a fucking creep.
Like, if you don't like what they did, don't buy it, you know? Don't pre-order at games ever anymore. This is a bad policy to have. I think CD Projekt is, you know, committed to making it an experience that, you know, people were kind of expecting to have. I think that they're not going to pull like a BioWare Anthem situation and just like stop supporting the game. Sucks a lot for them. They didn't deserve it. And it's just the story that continues, the nightmare that just never ends for these poor guys. Hopefully they can come back from this. You know, hopefully it's not too much compromising data. Specifically the personnel stuff that gets me. You know, source code's one thing, and that's IP, you know, and that sucks. But, like,
that it's weird.
That's,
it's...
like, people, you know?
I know shit about cybercrime, but I hope that they fucking catch these weasels and step on them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unlikely, but they do have money. So, CD Projekt.
They do have money.
So, they can afford some lawyers and investigators and such, so.
Get them. Make a game about that, you know?
Yeah. Call it Cybercrime 2021.
Call it. We got them. Oh, one super, super quick thing. I did watch Teenage Bounty Hunters on Netflix, and that was also surprisingly good. But I found out that after I had finished it, and after they had ended on kind of a cliffhanger, that Netflix canceled it, apparently cool. Because of the Waterworld stunt show, which I don't buy too much, because one, people really like this show, because I just tweeted about it, and everyone was like, "Holy fuck, you're right," and I was like, "Who are these people?" but also because like you have more money than God, so the difficulties that exist you can defeat if you want to.
Can you also just go on hiatus until things are better?
Yeah, so I feel like you're choosing what battles to fight here. I feel like maybe this was one that you should have fought for. And also because like you know how if you let Netflix sit for a second and then it will just show you a bunch of stills from their shows and it's like watch them. They're still like, "Hey, watch Teenage Bounty Hunters," and I'm like, "Hey, why don't you fucking make more of it, you asshole?"
It doesn't exist anymore.
You killed it.
I want Stranger Things season 4 to come out already.
I do want that, and I want that soon.
That is all.
So we are on Instagram and Twitter at Out of Dodge Pod. And if you have any suggestions for TV shows that we should watch an episode in the middle of, hit us up.
If you are listening on iTunes, or not iTunes. Oh my god, I'm so old, Shane.
What are you talking
about? I said
about?
iTunes. iTunes doesn't exist
anymore.
What the
hell iTunes? It died.
If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or whatever, give us a rate. Leave us a little cheeky comment.
Tell us.
It helps us
like, hey,
get noticed.
I'd love to get noticed.
Not that we need it. You know, we get like a million views per listens
per... Yeah, a million
per...
views per video. What?
Okay, you know what? We all make mistakes.
On this, and on this, and welcome to our video.
Wait, how did that rock out? Wait, wouldn't it have been...